First of all, let me briefly explain the metaphor of the head up the butt. It means your head, where most of your major sense organs reside, and where we believe our consciousness resides, is up your butt, is inside of you, is only able to look around and see and hear what is already inside you. We think we are experiencing the world. We think we have opinions about these other things that are happening outside of us. But really, in a very profound way, we are mostly experiencing our interpretation of the world, our translation of the world. And the way I mean it, we all do it. We all have our heads up our butts. And for most of us, most of the time, it's just true. There's not anything that you can escape as a human being. We all have our heads up our butts, and we're all looking around at the inside of ourselves, at the inside of our subjective experience, thinking whatever it is that we think. And we'll never be completely free of sticking our heads up our butts, along with our tendency to want to stick our heads up our butts. With your head up your butt, you can't quite experience the world directly. You can imagine the world. You can represent the world to yourself. But the actual world is happening around you while your head is up your butt. The rest of the world cannot directly participate with you while your head is up your butt. And you never actually do see people walking around with their literal heads up their literal butts, although it seems to me like there should be some mythological archetypal creature from ancient Greece who did this, like the centaurs, the half-human, half-animal creature. This would be called the Cephale Oros, or some creature like that. See the show notes for why. It often does look like people are participating in the world around them, but they aren't, at least to some extent. Like I said, we all have this tendency to act based on the story we tell ourselves about the world, rather than allowing the world to inform us, to form in us. We don't allow the world to create the forms inside us that we will then act on. We insist ourselves on creating the forms that animate us. And these forms, this inside of ourselves, is what I'm calling the inside of our butts. At its most extreme, someone with their head up their butt will only consider their own point of view and the views of people who already agree with them. Can you believe that there's some people like that? Can you believe that in this incredibly vast universe, there are actually people who so value their own point of view that they never really consider anyone else's? You would think people might recognize the value of hearing from as many other people as possible, but it just doesn't seem to work that way. Fortunately for others, the walls of their butts are a little thinner, and some of the world may make itself known through the walls where they stick their heads. Getting our heads out of our butts is indispensable for living in the present moment, for participating in the present moment, for really participating with the present. But once your head is up your butt, the very idea, hey, you know, I should get my head out of my butt, it's just something you find written on the walls of your butt. How about, you know, forget about me. It would be better for the world if I got my head out of my butt. And again, this conception of the world, this idea that you can know what's better for the world, this idea you can even know what you're talking about when you say the world, all of that is just more stuff written inside of you. You already think all the things you think. There's no need to review them. They're all in there. All those opinions and points of view and thoughts and feelings and experiences and memories, they are already there. When you look around inside you, you are always looking around at what is already there. So how does one get their head out of their butt when every effort you make is simply you with your head up your butt, looking around at things you wrote on the wall about getting your head out of your butt? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. Hello, and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. I want to start off with a disclaimer. I hope you realize by now, all my metaphors can be torn apart quite easily. There's lots of ways they don't make any sense. Not look inside yourself? That's crazy. Of course, we need to look inside ourselves. Lots of times things happen, they affect you, and you need to check in with yourself. You need to see how you're doing. It would be ranging from silly to deeply irresponsible to never look inside yourself and see what's going on there and value it and use it well. So that's my disclaimer. I'm talking about the other times. There also is this phenomenon of spending way too much time on the quote-unquote inside. There is such a thing as too much introspection, and there is such a thing as not considering points of view from other people. There is such a thing as valuing your own opinions way too highly. You will have to decide for yourself where you are at in this regard. Let me tell you about how I arrived at the title of this episode. The basic idea I was exploring, at least at first, was about stages. I was not thinking anything about heads up, butts. I was thinking about the stages a person goes through as they move from being born to being a little kid, to being a bigger little kid, to being a little big kid. Then you get to be what we call an adolescent, which we had to invent essentially because we no longer know what to do with kids that age except send them to a big building and try to get them not to look at their phones all day. So then you have adults, and then there's all the adult stages that you go through. You can create a name for them just like the kids. So I'm researching stages. I'm thinking about stages. I'm revisiting Erikson and Piaget and Kohlberg, who I had already studied. I'm discovering Carol Gilligan, who challenged Kohlberg's framework. There were lots of others, people I had never heard of before. I put at least a little bit about them in the show notes, since this podcast turned not to be about stages at all. So then I was reading critiques of stages, and there was a lot to critique about stages, like this whole highest stage or the highest level problem, like we're all headed toward that one way to manifest the best we can be in this regard and somehow become the most developed or the most self-actualized, you know, whatever. But I still wanted to talk about something, but if it was not about stages, then what? What was I trying to say with all these stages anyway? Where did that inspiration come from? Why did I want to create my own set of stages about how humans developed? Well, if you've listened to other of my podcast episodes, you know I focus on becoming more present. Was being present becoming more present? The ability to live more deeply in the present, is that something that happens in stages? So I shifted, and I shifted to research stages in learning. Not necessarily stages in development, but how do you learn a new skill? Was becoming more present something like that? Was it like a skill you could learn? The closest I got was from Dreyfus and Dreyfus in the 80s. They developed a framework that came something like this. You're a novice, you're an advanced beginner, then you're competent, you become competent in something and proficient, and then you're an expert. And all that seemed kind of dumb to apply to becoming more and more in the present. Someone's an expert at being in the present and someone's an advanced beginner. Like, it just didn't make any sense. What I got to was this. I do see some ways that people develop, and it manifests differently for everyone. But the overall trajectory I see is towards caring more and more about other people. If you have a practice that leads that way, if you are getting out of your own way, if you are recognizing somehow that fixed opinions need a bit of loosening up, if you're moving towards becoming more and more present, you're going to find yourself caring more and more about the other people. And you're going to find yourself knowing less and less about what's actually happening. That's how I saw it. I do think that this project of coming more and more into the present, more and more letting go, or at least suspending all your fixed opinions, all that certainty we have about the world around us, all that craving we have to be right and to be good and for our strong beliefs to be true somehow. We're all somehow separate from the evil people who are doing the wrong things. I do think that coming into the present loosens that up. However much or little you do it, if you have nothing but certainty, in my book, you're not really exploring the present. Because whatever it is that you think, the universe is really a whole fucking lot bigger than you and what you think. And so all this clinging to opinions is misguided at best. And I'm very aware of our current political situation and of how eager so many people are to just take their opinions and run with them. They wave their opinions like they're on a flag and they carry them around and view the world, this vast and profound present moment, as one in which they can be sure that they are right. Well, I see it as way more complicated than that. And this whole 10 Crutches podcast is my attempt to help anyone who wants to slow down a bit and think it through. On the left of the political spectrum and on the right of the political spectrum, everyone I see, myself included, when they get down to specific arguments about what's right and what's wrong, everyone has at least a little room where they can take a deep breath and consider something that they disagree with. We can consider other opinions enough to at least see why someone else would think it. You don't have to agree, but I think it's so much better to hear it, to give these ideas enough credit to be worthwhile. Maybe get to the emotional reality underneath. Maybe understand something that this person you disagree with can't quite articulate. Of course, when people's ideas either seem threatening, or worse, when they actually are threatening to someone else's life, of course, things get a lot more complicated. You have to get into scarcity mentality, the periodic release of unbridled aggression that some leaders encourage. But I'm saying the overall direction, as you become more and more present and become more and more in tune with the deep uncertainty we all have to live with, then the direction is towards loving more and more and opening more and more. If you are trying to be present in a universe that's bigger than you and your opinions, that's what seems to me to be the direction that we're all heading in, one way or another, stumbling towards that, together and apart. Is that actually a direction we're all heading in? Kind of like stages we're all evolving to? Maybe it's more like a skill we're practicing and could possibly attain. Well, in the moments of clarity, I realized how much I just want to say to all the people in their internet echo bubbles, get your heads out of your butts. That was really the essence of what I was trying to say with all these stages. I wanted to be able to add my two cents to the conversation. If you need a test to find out if something is worth studying or not, is a philosophy or a religion worth joining in or not? I think the question to ask is this. If you take on the philosophy, this ideology, the practice that you are exploring, if you take it on, will it help you learn how to love more and more in wider and wider circles? Is your love of whoever is in front of you in the present moment getting deeper? Are you caring more and more for the people around you? Is that the direction? I know we don't all move in a simple straight line towards this. And I know some people see the world in terms of tribes that they are in, and they know they're in it because others are not in it. And a lot of people, on both the left and the right and the center. A lot of people just want to feel the belonging, and they feel that belonging by excluding. That's how you know you belong, because you exclude together. But I also see so many people questioning, wanting to choose, but not knowing how. And I wanted to propose an alternative. I wanted to offer some way of orientation, a method of testing, so that you can tell something important about the ideology you're exploring. If it doesn't lead to wider circles, something might be wrong. This gives people a simple, applicable test for evaluating ideologies, practices, and policies without prescribing some specific political position. It's more like a compass than a map. Someone can ask, does this political movement expand my ability to see others' humanity, or does it narrow it? Does this media I consume help me understand people different from me, or does it make me more fearful, more tribal? Do I end up over time more entrenched in my point of view? Am I over time becoming more dismissive of the points of view of others? Does my new religious or philosophical framework, does it open my heart wider, or does it close it to non-believers? Do my practices, who I talk to, what I read, where I go, does it expand or contract my circle of concern? There's no such thing as a universal love for all unless you can manifest that specifically. You don't have to make your tribe, any tribe, so important that there's nothing else but that tribe. You don't have to know you belong because you exclude. You know you belong simply because you actually do belong. You belong to the earth because you exist on the earth. You exist within the universe. Some people have called it being a child of God, being a child of nature, being one with the Tao. I'm going to go here with universe. Just look at what you're made of, 100% made of. You're made of stuff in the universe. Everything is made of stuff in the universe, and everything, all of it, belongs together. But again, we come to the question of how to practice this. We return to the question, how do we get our heads out of our butts? When all the things you already think and all the things you already know are what I'm calling the inside of your butt. When the inside wall of your consciousness is all you can see, how do you get your head out and be in the present moment? And the answer is, you don't. This particular trap cannot be escaped by the efforts of the person in the trap. You have to allow the great universal wisdom, or I don't know, call it the underlying nature of all things. You have to allow some force you can't understand, which you really shouldn't even name. It's not anything you can think about, because that just makes it more the inside of your butt. At some point, there you are. You've popped into the present. You're exactly where you are, beyond your usual descriptions and opinions. And then, of course, after a moment, sometimes a very brief moment, chances are you will recognize yourself as, quote unquote, being present. And then you were present beyond any particular thought you had about it. You were present beyond any effort you might have made to get there. You were just simply present. And of course, what you thought to yourself, what you thought was, oh, this is it. This is me really being present. And once you do that, which we all do, it's a totally natural thing to do, your head's at least a little bit back up your butt. If you start to panic about that or object to it or try to find your way around it, which again, we all do as well, well, then your head just goes deeper up your butt. If you say, I will simply remain calm and without thoughts, well, that's also reading what you're writing on the inside of the wall. But it's fine. There's no hurry. There is no hurry. There can't be. There can be nothing happening in any present moment except the universe manifesting this way or that way or another way. I just wanted to send folks a reminder that the universe made us with heads that can go so easily into our butts, and we have to trust and cooperate with the universe that will help us take them out. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. Please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.